Is the presence of God good? You know, and if you have tasted what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. Now, if you haven't, you probably think, well, these people always just sing so long. I'm sorry. I hope you could come and drink and experience what I'm experiencing. There's nothing like it. There's nothing like the presence. Welcome back, Donna. It's good to see you. You know, of course, I'm going to make mention of that. Kingdom greetings to our online friends. Those of you watching online, we pray that the Lord find room in your heart. And yeah, thanks for being with us. This morning, I want to take this time to talk to you about pretty much just a reminder. You know, my brother was talking about Advent. And you can even see the theme that's going around this month around us. What's over here? Hope. Everybody say hope.
Hope.
What's there in that corner there? Peace. What's in that corner? Joy and love. And this morning I'm here, even for the rest of the month, I'm here to remind you again, you are an agent. Anybody can say, everybody say agent. So look at your neighbor, say, you're an agent. You didn't know that, right? You didn't know I know that about you. You are an agent. You know, you ask yourself, what's an agent? An agent is someone who represents, is a person authorized to act on behalf of someone. What a privilege! We have to be an agent. You can turn me down in this monitor here a little bit. What a privilege we have to be an agent of God. My goodness, guys, I get to represent God. But there is nothing worse like a bad representative. I'm going to repeat to you something I've said here many times. A religious Christian, now, talk to me later. We don't have time for that. A religious Christian is a worse advertisement for the kingdom. You know, a religious Christian could be a Pharisee. They know the talk. They know how we should be before God. They know the talk really well. But they don't know how to love. There's a story in the Bible. There's a lady with a crippled hand. Acts chapter. This is not in my verses. Don't worry about that. Today I'm going to talk to you about you are an agent of peace, of hope, faith, peace, love, and joy. I'm focusing on peace. Today we're focusing on peace. So this story, there's this lady with a shriveled hand, you know, a hand that was dry, in the synagogue. Jesus was there, and he asked the Pharisees. He's like, guys, what does the law permit us to do? Good or bad? You know the Sabbath. Part of the law, God said to observe the Sabbath. And God gave the Sabbath so the people could cease striving. Stop focusing on him. That was all the Sabbath was all about. The Sabbath was a day so people could really, you remember when we were growing up, when they said Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, then Fridays, and then they could go back to Sunday. They said Sunday is a day of rest, the day of the Lord, and it's a day we rest and we go to Mass. That's how I grew up. Sunday, you do not work on Sunday. You can sin, do whatever you want Monday to Saturday night, but guess what? And the crazy thing is, that's one of the reasons I totally miss baptism class. Because when I was going through baptism class, I was a sinner like crazy. I went through baptism class not knowing Jesus. Thank God for your grace, Father. Thank you for your grace. Because I wanted to get baptized so I could play music at the church. They said, if you're not a member, you can't play. I said, well, guess what? What do I need to do to become a member? They said, baptize. I said, well, give me water. So, I grew up with that mindset. I know the laws. Jesus asked them, what does the law permit you to do? Good or bad? Oh, they couldn't answer him because the Bible says Jesus knew their heart. See, when you're religious, you know the talk. But it's a lot harder to do the walk. But as a matter of fact, all of us, we already know, the walk, it talks a lot louder than the talk. People you're around with, your family, your neighbors, they know. They see you go to church. Thumbs up for those of you who carries your Bible. Also, thumbs up for those of you who doesn't have your Bible. Please, guys, there is no condemnation. When I say bring your Bibles, yeah, bring it. But if you have your Bible on your phone, praise God. You know, we live in the era of technology, okay? But I'm trying to balance this, what I said. You have your Bible, okay? But I really love you guys because I see a lot of you are coming to church more with your Bibles. You know, read it. Have that personal intimacy with it, with the Word of God. You are an agent of hope. Can people see you hopeful? In a season where there's no hope. guys, can people see hope in your life? That's why if I'm living by sight, I'm going to be the worst, the grumpiest person ever. Because everyday life, I don't know, I signed up for some kind of local news and now I get notification. I turned it off yesterday because every notification is a bad news. I signed up for Chesapeake. They just have something. I just find it out. Maybe it's not new. I just find out, you know, just to keep in the loop with what's going on in your community. So somebody told me about it. I said, yeah, I want to, you know, not just the Nextdoor app, but I want to know what's happening, you know, the big headlines. I signed up like Wednesday. I turned it off yesterday because every notification I get is a bad news. And I'm like, oh, please, man. I mean, guys. There's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And this world is hopeless. God is calling you this season of Christmas to be an agent of hope. To spread. But how can you give hope when you're hopeless? You cannot give what you don't have. So you don't have hope? Well, get hope. Where do I get it, Pastor? Jesus got it. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. It is totally impossible to please God without faith. You trust. You know, there's a story in Luke chapter 8. Sorry, chapter 2, verse 8. I'm going to put it on the screen for you. This is what it says. You're probably going to hear this story a lot this month. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid. For behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior. Everybody say Savior. Anybody needs a Savior? I do. Every day, I need a Savior. And that Savior is the Lord Christ. Verse 12. And this will be the sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, laying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying what? Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace. Come on, everybody, say peace.
Peace.
Come on, say peace.
Peace.
Look at your neighbor, say peace. You know, then you look at your honey, say honey, peace. That's just then, all right? But everybody, say peace.
Peace.
Oh, man, anybody needs peace?
Yes.
Oh, I want peace.
Yes.
It's not just, I want it, but I need peace.
Yes. Amen.
Peace of mind. And now listen to this. Listen to this. Put that quote on the screen for me. The great Nelson Mandela said, to be an effective agent for peace, you have to seek not only to change the community and the world. What is more difficult is to change yourself before you seek to change others. I want the world to change. I want you to think about this a little bit more. An agent. See, now listen to me, guys. If God still have you on this earth, He's got you on a purpose. Don't quit. Don't give up. The enemy wants you to quit. You see, when you quit up here, nobody can help you. If God would want you dead already, He would call you. Precious in the sight of the Lord, the death of His saint. So if He still has you here, love people. Be kind to people. Be nice. Be a nice person. Especially if you call yourself Christian. Be a nice person. Be kind. You are an agent of hope. Precisely today, you're an agent of peace. And why? What does it mean to be an agent of peace? What does it mean to live out your hope last week? We did talk about it last week. But what does it mean to be an agent of peace? To live out your peace? Maybe you're in a season right now, you don't have peace. This is what it means. It means to be active. To be an agent of peace means to be active, present, and even persistent in the way that you pattern with God. In the way that you partner with God to bring hope and peace in every situation. Let me explain this. To be an agent for peace, very simple. It means every day you live, you're partnering with God. So therefore, you need to allow God to do His work in you. Because if you don't allow God to give you peace, how can you share peace? I'm broke. No money. Can't give. Nada. Nothing. That's what it means here. See here, it means dead, right? I have a story for you. Story time. There's this missionary that went to Haiti. You know, when you go to the airport in Haiti, it's chaos. Everybody wants to help you. Why? Because they want to get a dollar out here. And then in Haiti, when someone says, it means, man, come on, help me out. I'm broke. I have nothing. But then in America, when someone says this, do this, what does it mean? I'll kill you. I'm coming after you. See you. Right? And then, of course, this missionary, he's got out of the airport. You know, this guy's helping him, and he's like, no, I got it. I got my bag. The guy's like, you know, I want to help you. I want to help you. The missionary got so scared. He's like, man, this guy's going to go to kill me. See the difference in culture, like culture, language, and sign. So yeah, if I do this to you, I won't kill you. I'm just broke. from my perspective, I won't kill you. Don't worry. All right? To partner with God. God wants you to partner with him to bring peace. He wants you to have peace. Listen to what it says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 9. It says, "Bless are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Are you a peacemaker? You see, now, normally, when you talk about peacemaker, people think peacemaker is someone who don't like strife. Peacemaker is someone who is just passive when it comes to conflict. You see, me, I'm a peacemaker. That's why I'm always going into conflict. Sometimes I cause them. I try not to, you know. It's the worst thing when you're trying not to cause conflict, but there is a conflict and you find yourself in the middle of it. But me, let's say if, like me and Mike, I'm going to fight for a relationship with Mike. And if I know Mike is in conflict with Teresa, guess what? I'm going to fight for that. It's like, I want peace. I want you to all live in peace. My family, they're all like, eat dog. My cousins, they don't talk with each other. But me, I don't know. God, give me that heart. I love peace. I'm always talking to my cousins, you know, make things right. My family, my mother, my father, my brothers, I'm always like going after. I am a peacemaker. I love it. It says in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers. Peacemakers. Why? Because they will see God. They will be called sons of God. You see, now, true definition of a peacemaker is not a passive person. A peacemaker must take action to bring about peace in whatever situation they find themselves. So if you weren't a peacemaker, let me remind you today, you're an agent of peace. You sit down. This is what I say. Every healthy family talks. I know the tendency sometimes, we don't talk. In this family, we don't talk. You know, the elephant is in the room. Nobody's talking about it. Every healthy family talks. In my family, we talk. When there is an issue, we talk. And I give my kids the same thing. They all know. If I'm bending, if I'm doing things I'm not supposed to, they sit me down. Mm-hmm. It's like, well, Dad, you know? Kendra, well, you know, we talk the same thing, and we extend the same culture to cousins, my, you know, siblings, everybody. Every healthy family talks. God wants you to be a peacemaker in your home. Maybe it's about time to take that responsibility. Stop being passive. You see, now a peacemaker walks in love. See, there's a way to address the situation. Are you still with me? You know, some simple strategies, stuff you might already know. The best way to become an agent of peace is to be a friend. How you become a friend? To have a friend, you be a friend. What's the best friend you have in your life right now? One of the things they do, they listen. The worst thing is to have a friend who always talking about themselves. Talking about themselves. Talking about their problems. Talking about them. It's, you know what we call this? Self-centered around yourself. You don't want to be that like that. You do not want to be someone who's so centered around themselves. Be quiet and listen for a moment. Learn to listen. You don't have to speak. You don't have to give them your answer. You don't have to give them your opinion. But just listen. See, what I'm telling you right now is something I've learned. It's something I've intentionally trained myself into. To listen. To be a good pastor, you must be able to listen. To be a good leader. To be a good parent, you must be able to listen. Instead of just cutting off and be done. No, just listen. Because sometimes we jump to conclusion too quick. And the reaction, when you really think about it, if you would have sit down and listen, the reaction would have been, your reaction, my reaction would have been totally different. If only I would have taken the time an agent of peace is a good friend. Be my friend. Be someone's friend. Number two, be a living example of what the Bible says. See, right there, that's another subject. Be a living example of what the Bible says. Oh my goodness. This is so good. There's a couple of examples I read in the Bible this week. I said, Lord, I accept your word. Sometimes, I said, we sing it last week, we sang that song, Trust and Obey, right? Have you ever battled with the word, something the word of God says, and it's hard for you to swallow it? Maybe you're not like me, but sometimes I'm like, okay, well, this is what the word says, but I'm going to do it. Now, listen to this. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. It says, be anxious for nothing, but everything, in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known, made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind through Jesus Christ. Now, we read that too fast. Let's go back to it. It says, be anxious about nothing. Be anxious about nothing. Don't worry. Hey, I didn't think about that song, but yeah. This means don't worry about anything. It's not telling you to be careless. You ask God for the ability to change the things, the ability, the power, the willpower to change the things in your life you must change. But when it comes to the rest, I post something on our men's group. And if you go on our Facebook page, you'll find it. It's a picture of a head with many different compartments. And it talks about different things we can control and the things outside our mind we can't control. So guess what? We cannot control the weather. Why am I going to be so grumpy about the fact that it was so cold Wednesday and then Thursday it was so hot and I felt like I'm catching a cold? So if I want to live a peaceful life, guess what I got to do? Adjust. What a perspective. I just have to adjust. Why complaining about it? Why be miserable about it? Can I change that? I can't. The only thing I can do, go back to Nelson Mandela's quote. To be an effective agent of peace, you have to seek not only to change your community or the world, but what is more difficult to change is yourself. You must seek to change yourself. And then I jump to the verse. This actually matches with the verse. Listen to what it says. It says, then let your request be known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and minds through Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter, this is the question for you here. And I think that's a question a lot of people are struggling with this. Should I ever take an action I don't have peace about? Should you ever do something you don't have peace about it? Excuse me. You know, there's one trip I do. When I do it, I don't talk about it here because we've got some people in Haiti that watches our services and stuff. So back in the days, you know, when you go on a mission trip, you tell people, you tell the church, you advertise it online. Now, I mean, I try to keep some of that stuff private, you know, because I don't want people to know. And it's not good for people to know every move you make. Okay? I guess the older I'm getting, I'm like, yeah, that's good. You know, I don't need that. People don't need to know everywhere I go. Okay? So back in October, I was struggling because I needed to make a trip. I needed to make a trip around October 1st for some ministry trip. So I went to the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm struggling. I don't know if I should make this trip. Should I ever take an action I don't have peace about? I wasn't even sure if I have peace or not. In other words, can I choose with confidence that something is right to do if I don't have peace or calm about it before I choose it? Anybody ever dealt with that? You know, you're like, okay, should I buy the car? Should I buy not? Should I go to school? Should I not? Should I buy the house or not? Should I apply for this job or should I not? Should I marry him? Should I marry her? Should I not? We should have perfect peace all the times. Now, somebody could ask me, Pastor, why are you saying should? Well, I know I said should. Why? Because Jesus gave peace. Or maybe I shouldn't say you. I'm going to say I should have. I'm telling myself, I should have peace at all times. But I don't. We should have peace at all times, but we don't. But when I don't have it, I should fight for it. I should pray for it, and I should aspire to be at peace. Some people, when they feel like they're troubled, they drink to wake up and find peace right there in their face. I mean, their trouble right there in their face. Some people, they do crazy things, and they never learn. Whatever you do to make you feel better will never take care of the problem. Come to Jesus. Come to Him. Come to Him. God's giving peace. Colossians chapter 3 verse 15, it says, let the peace of Christ rule your heart, to which indeed you called in one body. And I read to you Ephesians already where it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything in prayer, give thanks to God. And God will give you his peace that surpasses all understanding. You see, Philippians and Colossians, when we put those two texts together, this is what I find. Peace of Christ, of course, and peace of God is the same thing. But they should function in our minds and in our hearts. Because the battlefield is the mind. If you don't have peace up here, there's no way you're going to have peace. If you don't have peace in your heart, there's no way you will have peace. There is a connection with the peace that God gives to His followers and the decision that we make. The question remains. This is the question. And I'm going to go to the verse where it leads me to the next point here. Obeying God without peace. I say obeying God without peace is the dangerous thing to do. Disobeying God without, how could I translate that in my mind? I have that in English. Moving in, God will always move you in peace. This is it. God will always move you in peace. When God asks you to do something, for example, Romans chapter 12, verse 14, there's a good example. It says, bless those who persecute you. Anybody ever felt like they want to bless someone who persecutes them? Anybody ever feel peace about blessing your enemies? Anybody? I've never felt that. But should I obey that? Oh, yes. That's the point I'm trying to make here. Obeying God without peace. I can obey, I cannot have peace about doing something, but I know that's the right thing to do. I cannot have peace about doing something, but because that's what the word says, I'm going to obey anyway. For example, bless those who persecute you. Bless those who slander or backstab you, say all false things against you. Do I ever have peace about blessing my enemies? Of course not. But is it the right thing to do? Yes. Every time I think about giving, I have anxiety. You see now, you can't rest on that anxiety. You can't say I don't have peace to tithe. Because you know, every time you give, it's reminding you God is the source. Peace in your conscience. When it comes to choices that are not explicit, commanded, or prohibited in the scripture, but depend on wisdom in the situation, the state of our hearts and mind, the presence or the absence of peace and calm does not matter. Because God wants you to obey. God wants you to have peace. There is a saying when I was growing up, a young believer, some people would say, well, I don't have peace about this. The wording in Creole would be like, I don't feel like it. I don't have the peace about. You can't say I don't have the peace about forgiving. You'll never have peace about forgiving someone. Because forgiveness is not a feeling. Forgiveness is a choice. And then the more you forgive, choose to forgive, choose to let that person free in your heart, the more you become free. It's just like that cut. Yeah, the cut's going to hurt. It's going to hurt, and then you're going to have a scar. And eventually the scar won't hurt, but the scar will be here to remind you you had this cut. Peace in danger. Or peace in the trial. Remember that our peace does not come when everything works, when everything is going smooth. People think money can buy them peace, and then they find out they don't. You know, preparing this, it was very, I was reminded of a story that I learned last year, actually, around Christmas. This young actor, don't remember his name, 40 years old, committed suicide. I went and researched his life, and I'm thinking, why would somebody like that just committed suicide? Beautiful wife, young, 40, you know, he's famous, got all the money he needs, but then he didn't have peace. And then he thought, the best way to end that is to go into a hotel with his gun, committed suicide, thinking that would bring peace in his situation. Unfortunately, It was very unfortunate that happened. See, if you're about to make a decision to do something good for somebody and your conscience is not disturbed that it might be wrong, but your heart is disturbed that it might be painful, you must do it. I don't know if that makes sense. Let me read it again. If you're about to make a decision to help someone or do something for somebody, but then your conscience is not disturbed in what what you're going to do, but then you thought your heart is disturbed because it might be physically painful or it might be too expensive, do it anyway. Because the lack of peace over a possible danger and lack of peace over possible sinning are not the same. You should never have peace going in the wrong direction. You might not have peace giving $5,000 towards mission. But would it be a good thing to do? Oh, yeah. Are you longing for peace? It's always right to be free from anxiety. We can say so much about peace. But this morning, would you allow the Holy Spirit to come in your heart and give you peace? Man, I tell you guys, I thank God for peace. I am so at peace. I am at peace in my season. You know when you fight your season? I am actually at peace with the fact that I can't go to Haiti. You know how painful that is? I can't go now. I can't. When I say go, we've got our missions. We've got our pastors. I have one of our key churches. Both of the pastors are getting ready to leave out of Haiti. A couple weeks ago, I mean, of course, when I'm stressed, I get boils. It's crazy. Some people, when they're stressed, they've got headache, migraines. But me, if I'm going through stress, I got boils in my body. And I'm carrying this. I'm like, man, it's like these people now, they don't have a pastor. And I gotta try to create a team to get the church to. I'm carrying this. I'm like, I don't want the church without a shepherd. And at the same time, I wish I could go and be physically there, help them for 2 weeks, help them transition. I can't even do that. I'm carrying this thing. I'm before the Lord. I said, Father, I need peace in this season. What have I done? I tell you, in the past week and a half, I laid down. I laid on the altar. I accept where I'm at. I'm accepting the season. Peace. Longing for peace. I long for peace. I long for peace in my relationships. I long for peace in my ministry. I get it. I'm an agent of peace. I hope you get it. You are an agent of peace, of hope, of love. God's not sending his angels down here to represent him. You are. And if you're still here, can he count on you? And you know your heart. You know if you can say, here I am, Lord, send me. I say, here I am, Lord, send me. Here I am, Lord, use me as an agent of hope. When you encounter people who are hopeless, when you encounter people, they don't have peace. You know the best thing you can tell them? Tell them your story. Tell them how you are experiencing peace. Because, guys, in reality, we all have troubles. Listen. What's the word? There's something you say. You messed up. I'm messed up. I start with me first. I'm messed up, you messed up, we all messed up. Thank God for Jesus. I got trouble. You got trouble. We all have troubles. You know, the Lord sent us this encouragement. Thank you, Inge, for sharing this. It was good. He promised peace. We are commended not to be anxious. Help me with this word again. Anxious. Don't worry. Because we will not arrive in this perfect state of life until we see Jesus. We will always have things coming at you. So I'll invite Dan to come. As he sings this song, O come, Emmanuel. Would you let Emmanuel, God with you, I want you to be reminded of this. As you step out from these doors, God is with you, no matter what you're going through. You know, we pray for our sister. I tell you, I don't know who I was telling this. It says one of the hardest things to go through as a pastor is to go through with people when they mourn and you see the pain. I cannot imagine losing your husband, your son, your daughter. And then you're talking to that person. Their pain is so tangible. They're crying. The only thing you can do is cry with them. But in the middle of that, King Jesus, come and give them peace. Guys, no matter what you're going through, we can try to stand with you. But until you open up your heart and let Emmanuel lead you through the season, you won't make it. So as we sing this song, allow Emmanuel to come in your situation and say to the storm in your life, peace!